Hey, this podcast is not kid friendly. So if you don't want your kid to hear about sex and the word shit and all that other stuff, you should probably get them out of the room right now.
Everybody has a secret.
This is Beyond the Secret, an anonymous podcast where I uncover the truth behind people's deepest secrets. My name is Ace Fanning, and I want to know,
what's your secret?
Welcome back to another week of Beyond the Secret. Okay, so last week I had to give you guys a kind of a repeat episode, and this week I am a day late, but I want to give myself some credit here because I technically did not miss a week, and with everything I had going on, I thought for sure I'm going to miss a week. If anyone's curious, which probably nobody is, but I'm going to tell you anyways. The workshop that I hosted over the weekend went amazing, and I busted my ass, and I feel like I'm still recovering from all of it, but overall, it was really good. So this week's secret was shared with me during one of my secrets, but it was shared anonymously, and it gave the whole story. And she said the only reason she did it anonymously was because it wouldn't fit in the small box on Instagram. So she did it the anonymous way so she could write everything out. So going into this interview, I had a lot of backstory already. And so what you're going to find is that there is a story being told. And this is a very long interview. We talked for 2 hours and 2 minutes in total. She was just someone like I really connected with, and I felt like she was really easy to talk to. And so we just kind of kept rambling on. And there's a lot of side conversations, but I feel like they're all pretty important. So I included a lot of our conversation. But because it's so long and because there's kind of two parts of this story, I had to break the episode into two different parts. And I think once you hear the entire thing, you'll know why. So this week's secret, I struggled with a title because the fact that it is two parts. So I'm just calling this The Youth Pastor. What were you like as a 13-year-old? What was your life like?
I would say I was pretty normal for the most part. I have a big family, and so we're very like family oriented even to this day. Like, I talk to my parents every single day, my siblings every day. My parents weren't like crazy Christians, but you know, we went to church every Sunday, and that was just like a rule. You go to church. They were pretty open with us about things, but I mean, we had a strict set of rules and like expectations, I guess, that we followed. So I was always had like the Christian guilt, you know what I mean? Like, always like, oh my gosh, am I gonna get in trouble for this? Or
like, you know, you thought everything you were gonna basically go to hell for.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
At 13, you have a boyfriend.
So it kind of starts at like 11, 12.
Okay.
So we kind of started dating when I was like in sixth grade. He was like my middle school crush. He was a year older than me. And things kind of just seemed, I mean, for that age, they got like really serious. And I feel so stupid saying that, but it was like one of those weird emotional things that I didn't even realize until I was older, you know? So we started dating in about sixth grade, and things like got physical really fast.
Oh, in sixth grade.
Yes. And I'm telling you, like, I grew up super just, I didn't even know what like masturbation was. I knew like nothing. My parents were always open about sex and everything, and they always said it's really good. It's not like something they shamed for, but they were like, inside of marriage, it's a great thing. Mm-hmm. So things started with like, we would go to the movies, and our first like makeout was at the movies, and we'd go to the movies like every weekend to make out.
That was just like, I don't even care what movie we're seeing. We're just going to make out.
Oh, yes. Like, I remember in detail the first time we made out, and I was so nervous. And that just kind of became a thing. our group of friends would go to the movies every weekend and we would make out in the movies. It seems like so stupid, but
it's not stupid. I dated this girl and I was like her first kiss in high school. Like she had her first kiss in high school. So I was her first kiss and then she broke up with me. And within a month, she was dating this new guy. And then everyone was talking about how she was giving blowjobs at the movie theater. And I was like, wait, she just had her first kiss. What do you mean she's giving blowjobs? And it was like, you just ripped the Band-Aid off and she was going for it. So I've never made out in a movie theater. I've never had that experience, but it happens. And other things happen too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So it kind of started off like that. Like we'd make out and I'm telling you, like I was so inexperienced. I hadn't even had like my period yet. Like it was so... just like it was all new to me. I didn't know that people did stuff like that at that point. So we kind of like just started with that making out. And I remember the first time things got sexual is like my mom had picked us up from a movie and she drove a van. And so we were in like the back seat and I was wearing a jean skirt because that was a cool thing at the time. Kind of cool now too, but so I was wearing like a jean skirt and he just like put his hand up my skirt and started like doing stuff to me while my mom was driving. And I remember feeling so uncomfortable and like, what is happening? But I didn't say anything just because, you know, my mom was there and I think I was just kind of like frozen.
And this is sixth grade.
Oh yeah. Yes.
Oh my God.
I mean, I had never like seen a penis before. Things from there just kind of like escalated. We would hang out after school and we would go, there was this big field out behind our middle school and we would go back there. And that's when he first like showed me how to do things to him, like jacking him off or whatever.
Wait. How did he like show you?
Okay, so we were like making out in this field behind our school and it was very like foresty, so there's trees everywhere, and he would just like whip out his dick and I was like, I don't know what to do. Like I remember like touching it but telling him like, I don't know what to do, and he legitimately just showed me and was like, this is what you do.
Whenever I hear people talk about things that they were doing at certain ages, I always try to think of, what was I doing at that time? And in sixth grade, it was the year 2002, and I was busy watching shows like Lizzie McGuire, Even Stevens. That was the year that Kim Possible and That's So Raven started. So if you have a kid this age, it's kind of easy to wrap your head around it. But if you don't, those were the types of things I was doing in sixth grade.
So that was like the first time.
12-year-old, because like I feel like that did not happen for me for a very long time, and it was just like, I feel like if someone didn't know what they were doing, I would have been like, okay, yeah, me either, it's fine. Like I don't think I would have been ballsy enough to be like,
exactly. And I think at the time I thought this was all normal. Like obviously now that I'm a mother of a daughter, and just thinking about, even I have a brother who's much younger than me, and even just thinking about him doing something like that, I'm just like, that is not normal. There's no way that is normal. Like, this is actually really fucked up. Once I actually talk about it,
it's so crazy to me because, and I swear on my life, I do not want this interview to be funny because I know it's going to get really heavy, but
right.
Anytime that I've heard of people like doing sexual things really, really young, I always remember like what my body looked like when I was really young. And
yes,
I'm always like, so like, I want to ask you this question. I swear to God, like, this is probably going to come across funny, but I'm just curious. Now that you're an adult and you've seen adult penises, did he have like an adult penis at the age or no?
It's hard to say. I mean, I remember it, but I don't remember it being like, oh, that's super tiny or looks like a child's penis. Okay. So I guess it was like normal. I don't know. It's hard to say because at that point, that was like the only thing, only penis I had seen.
Okay.
And so I think I just thought it was normal. And then maybe now, since so many years have passed, I just don't really know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, it seemed normal. Even thinking back, I'm not like, oh, wow, that was abnormally small because he was a child as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was just like, was he like prepubescent? And like,
okay. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's definitely up in the air.
Okay, so you're doing stuff out in the forest or the field.
Yes. So from there, we spent a lot of time together because I was just kind of allowed to do whatever after school with my friends, but I would kind of run off with him. Mm-hmm. And
I want to go back really quick. Were you uncomfortable jerking him off or did you feel fine with that?
No, I was super uncomfortable. Like, okay. Like very. I just remember like wanting to cry after the first time, but I was just like, oh my gosh, you know, everyone probably does this and like, don't be stupid. I was like obsessed with him at the time. Like, I just thought he was so cool and he was older than me. Yeah. I was just like, kind of like, suck it up. It's normal.
Okay.
We continued to just like hang out all the time. Mind you, this is a small town. Our parents grew up together, so they were very trusting. My parents were very trusting of me spending time with him and his family because they grew up together as well. I mean, my parents were strict, like, you can't have a boy in your room with the door closed type of thing. But I was able to go to his house where we had a lot more freedom than we would at my house. So we would just sneak off and do things like sexual things, and it just was for a long time just like handsy stuff. I pretty much always did stuff to him. It was like only a few times that I let him do things to me. Like, I was pretty like, oh, I don't really want to, or, you know, acting kind of, I was just a lot more shy about it. But I definitely, like, he showed me the ropes on everything to do to him. We would like talk on the phone every night, and he started acting like really weirdly emotional and suicidal. And he would tell me things like, I'm cutting myself. I took a butcher knife last night and I sliced myself across the stomach, and like, you know, I just want to die and things like that. And by that time I was 13, he was probably 14. And I mean, I was worried. But at the same time, we kind of grew up in that like emo scene kid era at that time. And where everyone, yes, exactly. So it was like everyone was talking like that and being super emo, I suppose. I mean, it's definitely not normal. I wasn't like doing stuff like that, but I was just like, you know, if you're really so upset, you should talk to your mom. And so he ended up doing that, and he was put on like depression medication, and things seemed to be getting better. The summer before my eighth grade year, so I was 13, like turning 14, like going into eighth grade, we hung out one day. My mom was working and his mom was working, so he had his dad come and pick me up, and I was just dropped off at his house. And his dad was not very good with like supervising. He's like, yeah, you guys have fun, whatever, I'm gonna go outside and do work or whatever. So we were like totally unsupervised. So I got to his house and he was like, oh, let's go take a walk. He lived like up on this hill and there was tons of like forest area, just tons of trees. And so he's like, let's go on a walk through the forest, which we had done before. And I remember him bringing a blanket, and I was like, whatever, we're probably gonna make out, you know, stuff like that. So we get there and we start making out, and he really wants to have sex for the first time. He's like, please, please let me have sex with you. Like, just let me put it in, you know, it's going to be fine. And I was like, no, like that is like where I was like drawing the line. Like, I cannot give away my virginity because that is sacred. You know what I mean? Like, I was so scared. And he was legit like crying, begging me to. And I would just say, no, I'm not doing it. Like, I will do other stuff, that's fine, but I do not want to have sex. And then so we kind of let it go, and we kind of went back and forth on this for a while, and finally we just kind of started making out again. And he just takes my shorts, because I was wearing shorts that day. It was during the summer. And he just pulls my shorts over to the side and, like, sticks it in, like, without really saying anything. And I started bawling. And I was like, no, please do not do this. Legitimately was bawling my eyes out and saying no. And he just continued, like, he was on top of me. I wouldn't say, like, he held me down and I fought him. Like, it wasn't like that. I wasn't necessarily, like, fighting for my life or anything. Mm-hmm. I just was so upset. And I don't think I realized for a long time that that was even, like, rape, because I wasn't fighting him. And it didn't take me a long time. It took me a long time to realize that. I mean, it was horrible. I was still in tears when he stopped. I was bleeding, like, pretty badly, because it was my virginity. I just remember crying so hard. And instantly, he felt very remorseful. And he was telling me, I'm so sorry. Oh, my gosh. Like, don't tell anybody. Like, I'm so sorry. I will never do that again. And I was just like, I want to go back to the house. So he's like, okay. And we picked up the blanket and we just started walking back to the house. And I'm just like in tears the whole time. And I remember we got back to his house. We sat on his garage floor and both just were bawling. Like, I was crying because I was just violated. And he just took my virginity really without my permission. He just said, oh, let me go make you a sandwich. Like, let me just, like, make everything better. It's going to be okay. Like, I swear I won't ever do that again. And I just said, I want to go home. And he's like, do you want my dad to take you home right now? And I just said, yeah, I do. So he went and got his dad and I went home. And we really, like, never talked about it again. A few months later, I broke up with him and started, like, dating somebody else, another, like, middle school thing. We just kind of communicated off and on until, like, my freshman year of high school. I think I was, like, really weirdly attached to him just because of all of those, like, experiences. It was weird because I was kind of still, like, you know, do I want to be with him? Even though, like, he had done something horrible to me. But like I said, I didn't realize it until I was a little bit older, like, looking back on it. Because honestly, we did not talk about it. I told, like, my close friends, but that was really it.
I want to interrupt you because I feel like there's something really, really important here that, number one, we need to talk about. And
yeah,
that is that sometimes for, like, you know, people are always like, oh, well, why did you wait so long to come forward about being raped? Because the problem is, rape is what we see, like, we think rape is what we see in movies. And we think it's either a girl's completely hammered at a party and she can't even, like, control her body, or we think it's this violent holding somebody down and fighting and scratching for their life. And
totally.
That's where, like, we get this skewed perception of what rape is. You just said exactly, like, the reason you never told anyone or you never even came forward is because you didn't even know that that's what that was.
Exactly. And you think, you know, that was my boyfriend at the time. Like, you can still get raped by your boyfriend. And think of, like, all these parents who have kids that are in middle school and they're dating and it's just supposed to be, like, just super chummy, you know, oh yeah, that's their boyfriend. But, like, shit happens at that age. Stuff happens to kids, and then they can, like, perpetuate that in their relationship. You know what I mean?
I feel like it's really, as awful as it sounds, it's really good to hear this from your point of view, because the fact that you were a boyfriend and girlfriend, number one.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think sometimes boys and men and even married couples, like, a husband can rape a wife. A woman,
totally,
or a man, whoever you're with, is never, like, your property. You can't just be like, all right, it's time for dick, get over here, and, like,
yeah,
he just does
totally
it. Like, there always has to be consent no matter what. And you said
exactly
no. And yes, you weren't, it wasn't a screaming match of no, and like hitting him and fighting him or anything like that. But
yes,
that, and that's, it's so frustrating because I think so many people get confused about what rape is.
No, totally. So I'll tell you about like when I realized it. Mm-hmm. I was in high school, probably freshman or sophomore year, and I was with somebody else. I had another boyfriend at this time. Anyways, I ended up getting in trouble with my parents because they found out that I was having sex with my current boyfriend at that time. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to defend that guy. And I said, no, he didn't take my virginity. I've already had sex. And then they're like, you know, with who? Like, what are you talking about? And I said, you know, it was when I was 13 with so-and-so. And my mom goes, I cannot believe you would do that. Why would you do that? Why would you think that that's okay? And I said, I didn't want to. I was crying. I told him no. She goes, so are you telling me that you were raped? And I was like, wow, I guess I was. Like, I never thought about it as that until my mom and I had that conversation. And then it really just made me look back on that incident just because it's something that I really repressed. Like, I never thought about it ever until my mom said that.
And what toll do you feel like, because here's the other thing that happens with people who have been, you know, either abused as children or raped or anything like that, is you do repress it for so long. But then once you have the realization of what happened, I feel like all of the emotions come back times 10.
They totally do. I still didn't really share that with anybody other than like my mom and my sister knew. I didn't go around saying like, oh, you know, I'm a victim of rape. I never talked about it ever until now in my adulthood. I will say like, yeah, I've been sexually assaulted. I was raped, you know, as a young person, but it's not something that I talk about. And the thing is, which I guess we're going to get into this, is this person is a very high up person in our community because he's a youth pastor at a church. I don't know if you want to get into that yet or if you have any more questions about that, but that's like the whole other part to the story.
Well, the other thing that I want to point out to you or to whoever's listening is like, because here's the other aspect that happened here is you were really, really young.
Yeah.
And all of your experiences with sex and, you know, we especially when we're young, and even fucking adults do it too, people tend to confuse, you know, sex and love and emotion, and they think those are two of the same things. Like, and so for you at such a young age, you're like, I've done all these love things with this person, and that's why you were attached to him. That's why you were like, you know, it's hard to, you know, even though you didn't talk again about the rape and even though you broke up, that's why it's hard for you to move past it, because you're like, our brains are telling us like, you loved this person. That's why you did these things with him. And you guys went further than you've ever gone before because of love.
Yeah.
And kids get exactly. So confused. And again, adults get confused too, because, you know, and here's the thing. Sex is okay if people are like, if both people are like, hey, all I want to do is, you know, get one out and call it a day and then go our separate ways. That's fine. And that sex has no love in it. It's just like, hey, we're a couple of animals. We got to get off. Let's do it. That. And then there's also the version of sex that is love. And it's like love making. And even if you're saying inappropriate things while you do it, it doesn't matter. But
totally.
You know, but like there's such a difference between, you know, sex can be both of those things. And then sex can also be something to hurt somebody. And so I really want to point that out because I do think people have a hard time with this. And this podcast is not intended for young audiences, but I think it's important that young kids hear something like that, because we act so taboo about sex and what it is. And, you know, kids do get confused and like, you know, if you're 16 and you just want to fuck and that's all you want to do, you can do that, but it, you know, you have to have a conversation and you have to find someone else who's interested in doing that same thing. You're not interested in love. But for you, all of these things, even though you're only 12, 13, it was love.
Right. But also, like, yeah, this podcast might not be something that middle school aged kids are listening to, but their parents are. Mm-hmm. And if my parents, if they knew that something like that was going on, obviously would have been talked about. But I think their mindset was, there's no way that this is happening. They're too young. Like, but that it does happen at that age. It's not necessarily normal. I don't think it's normal at all. Like, I would be very concerned if when my daughter gets to that age, if she was being sexually active, just because you're way too young to like comprehend anything like that. Like I said, I was raped and I had no idea I was raped. Mm-hmm. Just because you're not even emotionally mature enough to realize that.
Well, and I also want to point out too, to anyone who's listening to this, that, you know, you're talking about this and you're talking about it in almost like a lighthearted manner. And I don't want people to be confused because you've had time to process this.
Yeah.
You know what exactly. I mean? Like, when you go through trauma doesn't mean that for the rest of your life it has to kill you or eat you alive. Like, we can take our trauma, we can heal our trauma, and then later, like, it becomes something easier to talk about.
Oh yeah, and it definitely, it's never been easy for me to talk about, even when I first told my husband about it. Like, I had never really told anybody else I was in a relationship with. Mm-hmm. But I like told my husband about it and I'm like, yeah, I just don't really want to get into it. But yeah, this guy who we see often around town, like, that's my rapist, you know, it's just like, but I don't really want to talk about it. And it's still even weird to talk to my husband about that. Well, like, doing this podcast, I was writing things down last night and I'm like, don't look over my shoulder. I don't want you to see this. Like, I don't want him to see the details and I don't really want to talk about it. It's weird. Like, that's why I think I was so nervous to talk about it today, because I really haven't like sat down and like spilled out all the details really to anybody.
And I would say too, that there is, I can totally tell just talking to you, there's a little bit of a defense mechanism that you've come up with over the years. Like the fact that you could be like with your husband, be like, oh yeah, that guy, like he's my rapist. Like, that's your way of kind of, it's almost like it's your own way of making it okay to talk about. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Like, I think the only time I ever really like cried about it was in this situation. And then when I first realized that with my mom, but talking about it now and with my husband or with my sister, it's like, yeah, it happened. That was like a long time ago. And obviously I've moved on. My life is really good now, but it is what it is. But this is somebody I see a lot.
Do you think you'll let your husband listen to this podcast?
I think I will listen to it first.
Okay.
And then maybe. I think I would. I do think I would, but it's iffy.
Okay, so you grow up and you guys both still live in the same town, correct?
Yes, even to this day. I guess I should add that during the rest of my high school life, we went to the same high school. He made it a point to tell everybody that I was obsessed with him, that I was like stalking him. And he's not somebody, we never really talked in high school. We had a lot of the same mutual friends, but we were never really together. I had a total separate boyfriend that I was all about during high school. And he just like made it a point. He told everyone like I was fat and gross and just like, I never understood why he had such hate towards me. I'm like, did I do something to him when I broke up with him? Wow, I must have really fucked him up, because why is he so mean about me? And I never really understood it.
It wasn't that, I promise you. It's he needed to discredit you in case anything ever came out. He was like, you know, if I can discredit her, if I can make everyone hate her, if I can make everyone think like, oh, she's just a fat bitch, like then.
Yes.
Then they're not going to believe anything she says about me.
Oh, yeah. And I totally realize that that's what that is now. It was something I really struggled with. I was like, I was really embarrassed, like by the stuff that he said about me. And I remember there was a couple times I would say hi to him in the hallway and he would just be like, don't talk to me, and just keep walking. Like, and it was nothing more than like, hi, like I was a nice person, you know? And I think I just was kind of trying to be like, why do you hate me? Like, what did I do to you other than break up with you? I mean, we were young. So I struggled with that, him just hating me for what I thought was like no reason. But obviously, like what you said, he was trying to discredit me. So if I ever said anything, he could be like, oh, she's been obsessed with me for years. She won't leave me alone. She's a freaking idiot. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So then probably around like my senior year, I started attending this church. And it was the first time I had really gone to church on my own without my parents being there. Like, I was always forced to go wherever my parents went. And I was not really into church because of that reason, because I had to wake up early every Sunday and I wanted to sleep in. My parents were like, no, we're going as a family. So this was like, wow, I was going through a hard time in high school and I just really felt like I needed something. As I was searching for whatever it was I was looking for, I was like, maybe I should go to church. You know, this is like me deciding to go to church, not my parents telling me to go. So I started going to this church and he also went to this church. Mind you, it is a small town with a lot of churches, but I had some friends that went here. And so that's where I decided to go. So we were like in the same youth group when I was still in high school. We would hang out with the current, at that time, the current youth pastor and his wife. And we'd all go over there all the time. And he was always there too. And so was I. But we never spoke to each other. We pretty much just like avoided eye contact, never really socialized at all. Finally, I had been going to this church for probably like 5 years. I eventually like became a part of the worship team. I sang every single Sunday. And he also was on the worship team after I was. He got on the worship team and he was like the drummer. And so I'd go to these worship team practices and he was there. We legitimately like never socialized. Unless we like absolutely had to, like, hey, do you have this piece of music? Cool. Okay, great. But that was it. Like, we never even acted like we had even known each other, really. So we had, like I said, a ton of mutual friends. One of my best friends, who was a female, she was one of his good friends, and they hung out all the time too. So finally, I was just like, why the hell does this guy go out of his way to ignore me, not talk to me? And like, why does he hate me so much? Like, I was really consumed with like, what did I ever do to him type of thing? And nobody knew really about the whole rape thing at that time. I was just like, I kind of wanted answers. I think I never felt like I had a closure because we never talked about it. So my friend finally texted him one night and said, you know, what is your problem with her? And he texted back and he said, you know, it's been a really long time. I don't really have a problem with her anymore. Like, I want to squash it. And he's like, what is she doing tonight? And eventually he ended up texting me. We made plans to meet up with each other when he got off work. So this is the first time in like, I don't know, 6 or 7 years. It had been that long since the rape. I went to his place of work and I sat out in my car thinking like, oh my God, what are we going to talk about? And he finally gets off work. It's like 11 o'clock at night. And he's like, hey, you want to like get in my car? Let's go on a drive. Which everyone would probably listen to me and was like, why would she get in the car with someone who raped her?
It was literally like, I was just like, don't get in the car.
So I got in the car and he's like, so what did you want to talk about? And I'm like, I guess I just want to know like why you hate me. And he's like, well, I don't hate you. And I'm like, well, I just feel like we're around each other all the time. Like, obviously we're going to like have to talk eventually. And he's like, well, is there something that like you want to say? Like, he kept putting it back on me. Like, you obviously need this conversation. Like, he's pretty like narcissistic. And he was just like, you know, what do you want to get off your chest? And I was like, well, I don't know. I'm pretty like fucked up from everything that happened when we were kids. And he's like, I just want to apologize for all of that. He's like, it shouldn't have happened. And, you know, it is what it is, but I just want to say I'm sorry. That was like pretty much the extent of our conversation. I never came out and said, like, you know, you raped me, right? You know, I don't know why. And if I could go back, I think that I would. But I feel like it made me uncomfortable to even bring it up to him. People listening probably think that that sounds insane. Like, I had this opportunity to really confront him, but I didn't.
No, I don't think that at all. I'm honestly, like, I'm trying to process everything. And I'm like, I keep getting stuck on this idea of the fact that, like, when he assaulted you, he knew right away what he did was wrong. He knew. Like, he was like, I just hurt somebody. And yet, you know, he wasn't really fully ready to admit it. And what I think is so crazy is then I start thinking about in life, we always, like, our conscience, like, always knows when we do something bad, when we've hurt somebody, when we've said something wrong. It's so crazy to me how, like, so quick we are to realize, like, hey, I did wrong. But then I'm thinking about you and, like, it took you so long to realize that, like, something bad had been done to you.
Right.
It's so crazy how we do that. And then I'm thinking about the fact that, like, yes, you're in the car with this guy and you have an opportunity to confront him, but, like, I feel like at this point you realize that you've been raped, but it's still not, it's not an easy thing to talk about. It's not like, hey, remember when you raped me last or a couple of years ago? You know what I mean? Like, that's, you're still processing all of it. I'm shocked you got in the truck, but I'm not shocked that you didn't say anything to him.
Yeah, I think at that time, I just wanted to smooth things over for the sake of, we're around each other all the time. And my friends are your friends. I just feel like there was always this awkward thing going on in our friend group that we never talked to each other. And it was obvious to everyone. Everybody knew that we had lost our virginities to each other, but nobody knew the situation behind it. And he actually denied for a lot of years that we ever lost our virginities to each other.
Hearing this whole conversation, like, it says a lot about you and, like, that you're a good person. Like, who's just like, you know, I just want to smooth everything over. Like, that is so not me. Like, I don't love confrontation, but I'm not scared.
Yeah.
Like, if someone does something to hurt me, I'm going to make sure that they know it until they apologize. And you're just like, you know what, let's just clear the air.
Yes. And I'm actually, like, now in my adulthood, I'm, like, all over that. I'm like, there's a problem. Like, we need to talk about it. I do not let things, like, fester or, like, sit at all. Like, I'm like, let's address this shit right now and get it out in the open. But back then, I guess I was not like that. So anyways, this was, like, when I had, you know, kind of first started going to that church and got super involved. Well, then this was probably, like, 3.5 years ago, right before I started dating my husband, I got asked to be a youth leader at the church. He was also a youth leader. So my, like, passion at the time was, like, I want to go and get involved with these middle school girls because of everything I went through when I was their age.
Yeah.
The only thing that's fucked up is, like, the things that I wanted to talk to those girls about were about him. And here he is preaching to these kids as well. It's just weird because I felt like I couldn't share my story or, like, my testimony because he was there. After several months of me being a youth leader, it was almost about a year probably, I started dating my husband, and he's not a churchgoer at all. He grew up that way, but it's just not his thing. Mm-hmm. And I was cool with that. So I still was doing this whole youth group thing. Well, my rapist ended up getting promoted to youth pastor.
Oh, God.
So during that time, I ended up getting pregnant with my now husband. And I had told one of the other youth leaders, well, I guess it was the former youth pastor that I had told. I didn't tell the rapist guy because I was not comfortable with that. I said, hey, I just found out I'm pregnant. I just want to be real with you guys and let you know. Because, you know, that's just not a thing that a youth leader should do, apparently, you know. Because we weren't married, exactly.
Okay. Oh, God. Oh, so, my. I feel really stupid, but I see where this whole thing is going. Okay.
So the other youth pastor was like, well, I guess you should come in and tell the girls, like the girls that I was mentoring, like, I guess you should come in and tell the girls you're not going to be here anymore. And I was actually kind of shocked. I was like, I get it. But at the same time, I thought, like, you know, this is just a part of my story. Yeah, we weren't maybe in the best place to have a kid, but I was an adult. I had my own place. It wasn't like we were in high school, like, oh my God, what am I going to do with this baby? It was like, we both wanted it and we were happy about it. But I felt like I was supposed to be upset. I ended up having to go in and break the news to all these middle school girls that I wasn't going to be there anymore. And it was just horrible. It broke my heart.
Were you allowed to tell them why you weren't going to be there?
Yes. I told them that I was pregnant.
Okay.
Right after that, I stopped going to church because they up and took me off of the worship team without talking to me about it. I pretty much just got completely shut out. Like, you're going to tell the girls you aren't going to be here anymore. And I was kind of still like expecting to like be able to be on the worship team and stuff like that. Like, I sort of get where they're coming from with, okay, you should probably figure out what's going on in your life and before you come and like mentor these girls.
Okay, but you got pregnant with somebody who you loved, and just because you weren't officially married, they're like, yeah, we got to get you to go, but we're promoting the rapist.
Exactly.
Which I get that they didn't know that he was a rapist, but it just pisses me off. But here's the other thing too. Let's say that we kept you with the girls and that you were still able to, you know, be a mentor to them while you're pregnant. You are an example that, like, we're not all perfect and we're not all following this path exactly, but, like, just it almost says to these girls, like, hey, you fell off the path a little bit. We're going to make sure you fucking go down. Not like, hey, you fell off the path a little bit. Let's keep focusing on moving forward.
So it gets worse.
Oh, good.
Probably, you know, a month later, I was, like, almost 3 months into my pregnancy, I have a miscarriage. So I kind of feel like, oh my God, now all these people fucking know that I was pregnant and everybody at church knows that I'm pregnant. And now I just lost the baby and I am like embarrassed because I told people so early, but it was like a big deal. Like with your first pregnancy, you're just like, oh my God, I'm pregnant. Holy shit. You know? And you want to tell everybody. That's like your first instinct. You don't expect something bad to happen.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah, of course.
This has nothing to do with this podcast, but it is something that I feel like I see a lot, and I see this so much with my own wife, and I'm like, my wife isn't someone who like openly talks about her feelings, so like I can't get it out of her, but like when something bad happens to my wife, and just like you, something bad happened to you, why is the first feeling embarrassment?
I think I've had two miscarriages now, and I feel like both times it's been like, it is like embarrassing because I felt stupid for telling people so early, and like now obviously have going through that. I wouldn't do that now, but also so many people go through it, and I don't know why it's embarrassing. I think it's just the fact of having to face people over and over again and be like, yeah, my baby died. Like, because you don't want to have that conversation because it makes the other person feel awkward. And I think that's what's embarrassing. Like having to like have someone maybe assume that you're still pregnant and come up to you and be like, oh, congratulations, which happened to me many times. And then you have to be like, sorry, like you're that douche that just brought up my miscarriage, but they didn't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's fucked up and we shouldn't be embarrassed of it. And when I talk to people that are going through that, like, don't be embarrassed of it, but it's just our natural human reaction. We don't want to make somebody else feel awkward.
It's so crazy to me because like my wife is literally someone like if she fell out of a second floor window and landed and broke both of her legs, she would prefer for everyone to just turn away and pretend they didn't see it.
Yes.
And I am like, hello, did you see what happened? And I will milk it for all eternity. Like, do you remember when I fell out of the window and broke both my legs? It's so crazy to me that like,
no, then she's like me. She doesn't want people to feel sorry for her. You don't want that kind of like attention. You're like, please don't feel sorry for me. This shit happens all the time. You know, it's like no big deal. I'll get over it.
I want everyone to feel sorry for me.
Well, that's probably why, like, women are the ones that go through childbirth, and then they have things like, you know, like the man flu, like when you have the cold, it's like the men are like, take care of me.
Oh yeah, 100%, that's me.
But women go through pregnancy and childbirth like, yeah, it's no big deal.
Oh my god. Okay, sorry. Oh, keep going.
No worries. After I had told the girls I was pregnant, I got kicked off of being a youth leader. I got kicked out of the worship team. I was like, fuck this. I'm not even going here anymore. I got into like a severe depression, which I'm a very like happy person all the time. But I got fucking depressed. And part of it was my body had just gone through a lot with miscarrying. And I had to tell so many people and then like take it back. Never mind, I'm not pregnant. But now I have everything that I lived for before, like going to church and being a part of this thing and feeling like I had so much purpose, was like all taken away at once. So then my mom had noticed I had been acting so depressed, and she goes, you should go to this counselor. And my sister had seen this counselor years before, and they highly recommended him. My sister's like, oh yeah, he helped me through so much shit. Like, he's amazing. So I contacted him, and I hadn't been to church for a while. He ended up, when I called him to make an appointment, his new office was at the church that I just got kicked out of.
Oh, God.
And he wasn't a like a pastor or anything. Like, he just so happened to be hired on at the church as like the counselor, not necessarily like biblical counseling. He gave that kind of counseling if you wanted it, but like for people like me, he was just like, yeah, just come and let's talk. This just so happens to be my office at the church. So his office was right next to my rapist's office.
Oh God.
Yeah. It just gets really good. Anyways, I go in there basically saying like, I'm really depressed over this miscarriage. I have a lot of issues with this fucking church. And he was super cool. I actually really liked him, and he did help me like work through a lot of things. And we kind of, obviously, like as counselors do, they go back to your childhood. And I told him about the situation. He was the first person I told that wasn't like a very close friend or like my mom or sister.
Mm-hmm.
And
did you tell him who?
Yes, I did. Told him, you know, it's so-and-so down the hall, you know, right next to you. And he was like, no way. Like, he was so shocked. And I told him, you know, everything that happened. We were really young, blah, blah, blah. The thing is, like, he didn't do anything about it. And I don't know if I expected him to. Mm-hmm. But I know that there's, like, a confidentiality. Like, he can't just go. I know, also know he's, like, a mandatory, like, abuse reporter. But when something has happened so long ago, what can you do to, like, prove that?
Yeah.
And I wasn't trying to get like, oh yeah, let's take this guy down, even though I probably should, but I didn't. So I don't really know like what I was expecting. And when I tell people that I had told the counselor, they're like, and he did nothing about it. Like, he's still like, lets this guy be this head person in the church around all these kids and everything. Like, I still don't really know how I feel about it. I don't know how I wanted him to react. I mean, he was like upset about it and totally like felt for me, but there was nothing done. Like,
here's,
I don't
the
know
thing.
What I was expecting.
No, but here's the thing. This, I feel like, continually keeps happening in society. I'm not going to speak for the counselor, and I'm not going to try and put words in anyone's mouth, but I'm trying to go through the map of maybe one possibility of what he's thinking, and it pisses me off. But who's to say you're not just the angry girl who's trying to get back at the church who fired you?
Exactly. With my friends now, I told two of my best friends that I was doing the podcast, and they're like, he should have said something, or, you know, this should be reported. But I'm like, who are they going to believe? They're going to believe him, because he's not the one who got knocked up before marriage. And, you know, he has this clean looking life. Well, I will say one thing. He got married, was only married for 1 year. His wife up and left him for reasons I'm still not sure of. And he is still able to be a youth pastor, which divorce is not biblical. And he's still able to, you know, be a part of everything. And it pisses me off, because the thing with churches, and maybe not every church is like this, but they put men on a fucking pedestal. And if a woman steps out of line or does something that's not biblical, it's like, wow, like, how dare you? But if a man, I mean, his wife left him probably for a fucking reason. I can only imagine what the reasons are because I know him in that way, sort of. But
well, what's irritating about this whole thing is like, okay, let's say that you went to a counselor and let's go like bare minimum here. Let's say you went to a counselor who was not at the church and you told him that you had been raped at a young age by another person whose job now is like an accountant. Okay. So,
right.
You know, if he doesn't follow through on that, like, I'm not saying I'm giving him a pass, but at least I'm like, you know, how far did we expect the counselor to try and dig? But
right.
this counselor is next door to the person you're talking about, working for the church that he works for. He doesn't, and I understand like confidentiality and stuff, but like there needs to at least be some sort of meeting of like, hey, it's come to my attention that somebody has made claims against you that you had assaulted them when they were younger. And now because you're in a position where working with children, I want to further discuss this.
Yeah. Or be like, hey, like if this gets out, like let's have you maybe do something else. I don't know.
It's just great. Like I said, like, you know, if let's say, like I said, you move to a completely new state, like I don't expect the counselor to try and become fucking SVU and Olivia Benson their ass or anything like that, but it's all right there. Something needs to be said or done.
I agree. And I never thought about that until I spoke to my friends the other night about the podcast. And they said something should have been done, like, or like a report filed, or he should have helped guide you through that type of thing. Not just been like, oh my God, wow. And then that was it.
Even if it's a, you know, even though this was a long time in the past, you know, 10, 12 years, however long had passed since the incident, the problem is still that he's working with children. And
right.
The other thing is a lot of youth pastors, the people that youth pastors kind of spend the most time with are the people who, you know, don't necessarily have the best home situation and
who are very vulnerable.
Those are the same people who tend to get assaulted by pedophiles and stuff because they can be this source for them to go to, like a father figure or whatever. And it's just like, we can't just ignore the fact that he's working. Like I said, if he was like an accountant and did something completely different, I'm not going to give him a pass, but at least like he's not around kids. But like this person is a pillar of the community for children.
Right.
Sorry, I'm getting so worked up.
No, I have like, this is kind of like, I mean, it's on topic, but anyways, I'll just go for it. My thing is, since I've experienced that with being pregnant and kind of like shunned from the church, ever since I've been going to church, they always say, you know, babies are a blessing. No, they're so anti-abortion and everything. But I'm thinking to myself, what if one of these poor girls gets pregnant and they like they shame you so hard to where, why wouldn't somebody get an abortion? If you're raised like that and you're so terrified to tell your, you know, your religious family because it's like, how dare you get pregnant, but also we're against abortion. Like, it makes no sense to me at all. It is
so frustrating. Like, I've gotten to this point recently in the past few months where like, and I don't like to talk about it, but like, I've gotten to a place where like, I have no problems with God.
Yeah.
I know that Jesus is my savior. I have a problem with these humans who run these churches and the messages that they're trying to get across.
No, and my faith is still strong. I'm still 100% a Christian. Mm-hmm. I don't really attend church anymore. I mean, I go with my parents every now and again just to like go as a family, but I have yet to find a church that's like truly like real. And I feel like I was real with everybody. Like, hey, these are my struggles. Yeah, I got pregnant, but we're going to figure it out. But I was shamed for it and I was an outcast for it.
I just think you were an opportunity to relay a different message of like, because the thing is like, we can't, here's the thing is when we put role models in front of children who don't make any mistakes.
Yeah.
The problem is, then kids don't know how to deal with mistakes. And I'm not saying that you getting pregnant was a mistake, but it's obviously not on the Christian path. But the Christian path is all about falling off and then getting back on.
Right. Falling and I think and that back. In my head, I think that I always thought if I committed a sin that I was going to be punished for it. And I almost thought like my miscarriage was like my punishment because I just had that in my head. And so many years of like, you know, sleeping with people before I was married and like the stuff that happened with him from my childhood, I was so like, I had such guilt over it. And when I finally just started to say like, fuck that, I don't feel guilty at all. I met my husband and, you know, yes, we went through that miscarriage, but then we soon after had our daughter and we're happy as fuck. Yeah. We don't go to church every Sunday. I still read the Bible and I still totally believe in Jesus. And I still will 100% say that I'm a Christian, but I feel free realizing that none of that shit matters. Everybody fucks up and it's okay. And I don't really think that there's this God up there like waiting to punish me for every single thing I do.
God doesn't want to punish anybody. Like God wants God just wants you to, you know, seek forgiveness for the things that you've done. And he's going to love you either way. Like God does not want anything to do with punishment.
Right. And I've always been such a straight up person. Like I am an open book. I share like a lot of things about my life with people. And I always have been like, especially when I was going to church, I would have like meetings with the youth pastor. He'd be like, hey, we kind of just want to check in and see like what your life is like right now. Like, are you drinking? Are you like partying? And I would be like, yes and yes, I am. And I am sorry, but like, I'm not going to lie. So I think I was actually really ostracized for being so open because they wanted, I think, this generic answer of like, oh, nope, everything's good. I have stopped drinking and I am on the path of purity. I'm like, no, my friends want to party every weekend and it's really hard to not drink and have sex with my boyfriend. Like, I was always like super open about that, but it really put me against all the other like youth leaders who pretended that their lives were perfect.
Yeah.
So that was always really frustrating and probably the reason I don't go to church anymore.
So the counselor never reports anything.
No, never.
What happens next?
So really, I'm like, I'm struggling to kind of like figure out where to put an end to this, but they're really like, I just moved on with my life. Like I said, I got pregnant again. I stopped going to the counselor because I got pregnant again and I just had like all this shit going on. And he's still a youth pastor. There's another like a bit of the story, and I don't even know if you want to include this in the podcast or like
no how... I 100% was like, wait, hang on a second. There's another huge spin in all of this.
Yeah. And I really struggled with like where to put this in. Like, because I feel like it's a whole different thing and I didn't want to get like too off of like the story, I guess, but it's also part of it
because I think there's a whole psychological aspect of what
there is.
And I just feel like you should tell your truth and like, when did you find out about this and how did you find out about it?
Okay, so
believe me when I say you do not want to miss next week's episode. If you have not yet left a review on iTunes, preferably 5 stars, I would really appreciate if you would do that. Because like I say every fucking week, those reviews help grow this podcast. And the more this podcast grows, the more people I can reach, and the more people I can reach, the more secrets I can bring you. Thank you guys for listening. I know I will see all of you next week.
Everybody has a secret.